The people of Israel, they're camped there on the plains of Moab. They're preparing to go into the promised land. They're going to go in and take the very land that God had promised to Abraham and was now leading his people into. As we stated, as we've been looking at the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy consists of five messages that Moses gave to the people during this time period of preparation to go into the land. Well, in addition to reviewing the law of God and encouraging the people to be obedient to the law of God, Moses was also composing and writing some remarkable psalms during the same time period. We find a series of 11 psalms that are traditionally attributed to Moses there at the beginning of book 4 in the Psalms. Now you may ask, what do you mean by book 4 in the Psalms? Well, let's back up a bit and consider some of the features of the book of Psalms. We actually studied many of these things in our Wednesday night study. We've had two different series of studies in the book of Psalms on Wednesday nights. Psalms is divided into five books. So far we've studied book 1 and book 2. And we hope one day to pick up our study again and resume our study with book number 3. You know, what's interesting about the division of the book of Psalms is it seems to intentionally parallel the five books of Moses. The Jewish people refer to this usually as the Torah. It's also called the Pentateuch at times. It's the law of God through Moses. The five books of Moses paralleled in the five books of Psalms. Now, the fourth book begins with Psalm 90. And the epigram on this particular psalm attributed to Moses. It reads, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. That phrase, the man of God, is often used in the Bible to refer to the prophets, and Moses was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Now, although the next several psalms in this series doesn't have that same epigram, Jewish tradition attributes them all to Moses. Psalm 90 through Psalm 100, those 11 psalms are taken as prayers or songs written by Moses. And from the context of Psalm 90, which is what we're going to be looking at this morning, the setting of the psalm does appear to be that time period right before entering into the promised land. Moses will reflect on what has happened while wandering in the wilderness, and he'll draw attention to the idea that we all must be very careful and diligent in light of the struggles of this life, in light of the brevity of this life, to number our days, to make good decisions. In fact, the Psalm 90 can be divided into about three main parts or themes. The first part, first couple of verses, deal with the immortality of God. We just sang a hymn about God being immortal, invisible. God is immortal. Secondly, the mortality of man. And then finally, the psalm closes with the responsibility of man in light of his mortality. So let's begin this morning by looking first at the immortality of God as seen in the first two verses of this remarkable psalm. This morning I've been using one of the translations that we have been using in our Wednesday night study for the Psalms. So verse 1 and 2 reads like this. O Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to the next. Before the mountains were born or the earth or the world brought forth, you are God without beginning or end. The main point here is that God is immortal. He is without beginning, without end. The NIV renders this from everlasting to everlasting. God is eternal. He is a God who is not confined by time. He's not limited by time. He created time as we know it when He created this world. What's remarkable about this psalm in these first two verses is that Moses introduces the eternal nature of God. And he does that by comparing it with the shortness of life for man and the limited duration of this created world. Moses starts from the smallest and then moves to the greatest. He starts with man. Man, Moses tells us, enjoys the Lord as his refuge from one generation to the next. So Moses is using generations to describe the length of time that we have. This, in other words, this is looking at time from man's perspective. We do experience our time on this earth in terms of generations. For many people, this would consist of five generations. We know our parents. We know our grandparents. We certainly know our own generation. We may know the generation of our children, or maybe even our grandchildren. Some of us are probably very blessed to maybe have great grandchildren. And it's not just five generations, it's more. My dad is always very pleased when he's able to interact with his great grandchild. Maybe we knew at one time our great grandparents. If you've been so blessed, it points to the idea of the great blessings that we have. But here's the point. Our time in this world is indeed limited to generations. The generations we know before us and the generations that come after us. We have a beginning and an end. Unlike God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Moses goes on next to speak about the duration of this created world, a world in which God created. In contrast with man, the mountains and the earth have been around a bit longer. This passage says that the mountains were born. The world was brought forth. Now, we don't know the exact date in which God created the world. We don't know the exact date in which the world as we know it will cease to be. But here it is. The universe is not eternal as God is eternal. The world has existed for a limited amount of time. Now, the universe is older than man, but not older than God. Only God has no beginning, has no end. So the description in these verses set forth a comparison between man, the most narrow in time, the created world, which has existed longer in time, and God, who is not confined by time at all. Our God is eternal. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. The next part of this psalm focuses on the mortality of man. Let's begin now with verse number 3. Moses writes in verse 3, "You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.'" Now, Moses is drawing attention to that truth that God has allowed death, man being turned back into dust. God has allowed death to serve as a consequence of our sin, of our fallenness. Remember that when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, the original intention was that Adam and Eve would remain holy and obedient before God and thus continue to live in God's presence and continue to enjoy fellowship with God. It was only after the disobedience in the garden that death became a part of the human experience. God told that first man and woman, when you eat of this tree, when you disobey me, you will then surely die. Again, it was not God's intention originally to have man return to the dust. That only came as a consequence of our sinful ways. And let's remember now the context of Psalm 90. They're there on the plains of Moab. Moses is talking to this second generation of Israelites who had come out of Egypt. As we've said before, after the rebellion and disobedience of the people there at Kadesh Barnea, this is where the people listened to the negative report of those 10 unfaithful spies, and they kind of rebelled against Moses. At that time, God declared that all the people who were 20 years old or older when they came out of Egypt would perish in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb, those are the two spies who were faithful, and the children or the second generation of Israelites would enter the land. Again, because of their sin and their disobedience, they experienced death there in the wilderness. In fact, you notice here, the pattern is very similar to the pattern we see in the Garden of Eden. After the sin came, then death entered the picture. The intention, or the incident, of Kadesh Barnea had taken place about 38 years before Moses was speaking to the people here on the plains of Moab, sharing with them the book of Deuteronomy and Psalm 90. So Moses is talking to a group of people who had actually witnessed their parents and their grandparents die before their time. Their parents and their grandparents had died in the wilderness. They had returned to the dust because of their sinfulness and because of their rebellion against God. Moses says that God turned men back to dust. Again, a consequence of their sin and rebellion. And here's the idea. Although man was created to live forever in fellowship with God, God allowed death to enter the human experience because of this disobedience. Now, we can remember and praise God that this is not the end of the story. And we'll see that in the latter part of the psalm. And we know that in our redemption in Christ Jesus. But first, let's go ahead and go back to Psalm 90 and see the next couple of verses that Moses gives us. He gives us several metaphors to remind us about the shortness of our life here in this world. Let's read now verses 4 through 6. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. Though in the morning they spring up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We see here three rather interesting metaphors bringing out the idea of the shortness of our life. Man is like a day that has just gone by. You ever had one of those days? Had a lot of plans and ideas in the morning, but just next time you realize it, the day is gone. A day that slips by so fast. It's interesting that Moses compares that with with 1,000 years from God's perspective. In fact, we hear that same idea in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 8, where Peter talks about One day, he says, 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years to God is like one day for us. I wonder if the Apostle Peter had this very passage from Moses in mind when he penned those words. The day of a man is like a day that just goes by so quickly. Goes by so quickly. The second metaphor, man is likened to a watch in the night while men sleep. Now, typically a watch in the night is about 4 hours. And if you're up on watch for 4 hours in the middle of the night, it seems like those 4 hours just take so long to go by. When I was in college, I worked as a security guard. And I remember some of those nights seemed like forever. And while I'm working as a security guard, people are home sleeping, and the hours go by so fast. In fact, the pattern in the first two metaphors is very similar. Something seems so short, but then they take so much time. Again, 1,000 years to God is like a day for us. A 4-hour watch in the night passes so quickly when you are asleep. And the third metaphor is likens man's life to a new blade of grass that sprung up in the desert and then dies so quickly. A blade of grass who has a one-day lifespan. That seems kind of strange to us. We're familiar with, the seasons. But imagine if you are one of these travelers with the Israelites, and in the morning there is some dew on the ground, and sure enough, you see little blades of grass, little green plants beginning to spring up. And as you walk throughout the day, by the end of the day, and all that hot desert sun, those plants have withered and died. That's like our lives. A plant that springs up and then goes away. Now here's the point that Moses is making in all of these metaphors. Our life on this earth, it's so short. Sometimes it seems like it's so long, but the truth is it's so very short. It may seem like a long time when you're waiting in line at the DMV, or when you're waiting at the light for the light to turn green. It seems like a long time, but the truth is, it's short. Our life is short. Our life is like a blade of grass, there in the morning, gone by the evening. Why is life so short? Well, Moses already hinted at it back in verse 3. God causes man to return to the dust because of our disobedience. The same theme is developed a little further now as we move on to the next few verses. Let's read together now verses 7 through 9. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years like a moan. Remember, the people who first heard this psalm there on the plains of Moab were waiting to go into the promised land. They had seen their parents and grandparents die in the wilderness because of their iniquities and their secret sins. The wrath of God was a real experience for those who had perished in the wilderness. Life for that older generation was shorter than normal. Why? Because of their disobedience. And by the way, speaking of shorter than normal, what's normal? Well, Moses goes on to tell us in verse 10, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Last week, the men were on their men's retreat up at the Deppner's home. It was a wonderful time, and we were reading a book for our study, a Charles Swindoll book. The name of the book is Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. In fact, Psalm 90 is a great psalm to address that very topic, living above the level of mediocrity. And the book even used Psalm 90 in one of the chapters that we were looking at to explore this topic. And as we were doing our study, I was actually asked to read that portion of Scripture in our study. And mind you, it was Will's 88th birthday that weekend, and we had talked a lot about that. In fact, just before this this session, we had had a little fun conversation about how old Will was and how old Ed was and how old other people were, and we were kind of commenting on the length of years that some of the men in our church have enjoyed. And so I was reading this passage, and I came to verse 10, and I read it, you know, 70 or 80 for strong. I'm thinking, wait a minute. And I said, and I interjected, and I said, or 88. you know, 70 years, 80 years, that's maybe an average. But remember, a lot of people are given so many more years. There are many people in the Bible who lived longer than fact. In fact, if you think about it, if Moses wrote this particular psalm at the very end of his ministry when he was preparing the people to go into the promised land, that's what we have suggested, then Moses was 120 years old when he wrote this. 120 years old. So here's a guy who's 120 years old telling us that the typical lifespan of a man is 70 years or 80 if they have strength. The real point in this section, in this topic, is this. What are we doing? What are we doing with the years that God has given to us? If God only gives you 30 years, what will you do with those 30 years? If God gives you 80 years, what are you going to do with your 80 years? God gave to Moses 120 years. You know, it is possible that that God could give one of us 120 years. Not very likely, but it's possible. What did Moses do with his 120 years? And by the way, if you think about it, Moses was 80 years old when he began the Exodus story. He was 80 years old when he went before Pharaoh and confronted Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." So what does Moses do with his 80 years? He's busy. He's serving the Lord up until the very end. He's leading the people. When he's 120 years old, he's giving us the book of Deuteronomy. He's giving us several psalms. Again, Psalm 90 through Psalm 100 are attributed to Moses. You know, many people tend to slow down or even retire in their final years. Not Moses. Not Moses. Again, if God gives you 70 years, will you serve Him diligently for those 70 years? Or will you want to retire when you're 60? You know, the years on this earth can be challenging. Many of us want to retire early. In fact, some people work real hard in the early years of their lives so they can retire early. And there's nothing wrong with retiring. But what are you doing with all of your years? It's hard work to stay faithful, to stay diligent to the very end. But that's what Moses did. And I think that's what he wants each of us to do. To take the years that he has given to us and to serve him faithfully. Speaking of the trouble and the difficulty of these years, let's go on now to verses 10 and 11. Moses says, yet the span, their span, that is the span of years that God has given to us, 70 years, 80 years, maybe 100 years, maybe 120 years. The span of years is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass away, they fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Notice that Moses inserts here again the reason for the shortness and the trouble of our years. The wrath of God visited upon us because of our sin, because of our rebellion. The last part of verse 11 there, so insightful. For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Just think about this. If that older generation of Israelites who had come out of Egypt had truly feared the Lord and truly obeyed His commandments, they would not have suffered the wrath of God by perishing in the wilderness. If Adam and Eve had been obedient to the Lord, they would have lived continuously in fellowship with God in His presence. If we remain faithful to God and obedient to His law, that was the theme of our message last week, being faithful and obedient to His law, we can expect to have God pour out His blessings and benefits upon us rather than visit us with His wrath. Sin, our sin, not only grieves and angers the Holy Spirit, it also complicates our life. Much of our sin is what is behind the difficulties of this life. Guilt is like a ball and chain that we drag around. When we disobey the Lord and we pursue priorities other than His kingdom and His righteousness, our lives really do become less fulfilling. Let's go on now to the third main section of this psalm. Just by way of review, part one talked about the immortality of God. Part two talked about the mortality of man, the shortness of man's life. Part three now will go on to address our responsibility in light of the shortness of our lives. The key verse in this theme is verse number 12. Moses says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This could also be translated, make us know the shortness of our life, that we may gain wisdom. This psalm challenges us. It challenges us to rearrange our priorities, to make the best possible use of our time so that our lives will count in our service to God. How do we make the most of our days? It starts with good time management. Remembering that God has given to you a set number of days, and we need to be good stewards of those hours, those days. It also involves a rearranging of our priorities. We start by planning carefully, ordering our lives so that God's priorities come first. It may mean looking at your calendar, your schedule, and considering, have you given priority to fulfilling the great commandment of loving God, of loving your neighbor? We looked at that a few weeks ago from the words of Moses, from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Moses gave us these great commandments of loving God and loving our neighbor. Have we set apart time? Are we committed to those things? Especially to the last days of our life. Is there room in our calendars and our schedules for fulfilling the great commission of going out and making disciples? In light of our mortality, how do we number our days? Another key way in which we number our days is to make sure that we humbly submit to God before those days are over. Consider now verse 13. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. How long will it be until your span of years is over? We don't know. In fact, we were in science class the other day. I help out with the science class at Fremont Christian, and the teacher was talking about this new scientific breakthrough where they can analyze a certain feature of our cells and how they're reproducing. And she was telling the students that scientists think that if they get down to the core of this thing, they could be able to tell possibly when someone will die. And we had a little class discussion about that and the pros and cons of what would happen if you knew the exact time you would die based on a careful analysis of the cells in your body. Well, the truth is we don't know. And therefore, it would be wise for us to realize that our life is short and that we do not know when the end will come. And therefore, wisdom would cause us to get right with God while we are still able. This point reminds us of the hope we have in Christ. Now, much of Psalm 90, up to this point, we've been reading verses 1 through verse 11. Much of Psalm 90 up to this point gives us a rather bleak picture. Some of you are probably out there this morning thinking, where's the encouraging word this morning? It's a bleak picture being painted here. The shortness of man's life, the fact that man is an object of God's wrath because of his sin. In fact, if Psalm 90 ended with verse 11, which is the last verse of this section in part 2, it would be a rather hopeless message. But the psalm goes on in the final section to hold out to each of us hope and healing for our human condition. We can cry out to God for his compassion and expect to receive it. That's what God has always promised. Yes, our life is short. Yes, we are the objects of his wrath, but there's also this hope, there's this compassion that is available to us. Have we cried out to God during these few years that he has given to us? Have we cried out to God? Let's go on, verses 14 and 15. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. The word unfailing love there is the word chesed. It's the Hebrew word for God's love. God's love. A love that is so full of compassion and mercy. Fill us with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. This great hope, the great promise of God in scriptures is that the shortness of our troubled and difficult lives here in this world will be far surpassed by the peace and the joy that we will experience in God's presence after life in this world is complete. If only we will call out to him during the short years of our life and seek his compassion. The only way to make our lives count to the maximum is to seek God's mercy, seek God's compassion given to us freely in Christ Jesus. This is the year. This is the day for you to find forgiveness in Christ and give your life to him. Moses closes this psalm, verses 16 and 17, with these words. May your deeds, and Moses is talking about deeds of God, may the deeds of God be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses desires that the work and the deeds of God be established in the lives of his people. What is the ultimate work of God? It's that redemption that is available in Christ Jesus. God working out our salvation through his Son. When we turn to God, when we call out to him for his compassion, his work will have fruit in our lives, and our work will become even more fruitful. Instead of seeing our days as simply days of trouble, days of difficulty, we will begin to see our days as days of opportunity. Opportunities to praise and thank God. Opportunities of serving the Lord with gladness. Days to fulfill the great commandment of loving God and loving our neighbors. Days of filling the great commission of going and telling all people about the redemption of Christ. Will we number our days? Will we number our days aright? Will we make the most of every opportunity? Make the most of each day that God has given to us. It may be 70 years, it may be 80 years, it may be many, many more. Will we take each day as a gift from God, serving him, numbering our days in light of the great hope and the promises that God puts before us. Like Moses, faithful and serving to the very end, to the very end. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great love, your great compassion. Yes, life in this world sometimes is a challenge, it's difficult, and that is a result of our sin. But Father, we know that you hold out to us great hope. You hold out to us compassion. You have given to us your Son. And so Father, we would just pray that we would number our days and know in light of the shortness of our days that we must call out to you and know your compassion. We thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.